The second reading today, St. Paul told us that we have to be careful not to do anything that is going to grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he gives us a few examples. He says, bitterness, fury, anger, shouting, reviling, and malice. Those things, he said, have to be completely removed from us because they grieve the Holy Spirit. Now, if those things grieve the Holy Spirit, ask yourself, what would grieve the Holy Spirit more than anything? In just a couple of minutes, when we pray the Creed, we are going to say that Jesus became incarnate of the Holy Spirit. There is nothing that is going to grieve the Holy Spirit more than to not believe in Jesus. Now, there are lots of people who will say, well, I believe in Jesus. Really? What do we believe about Jesus? He's a nice guy? He's a good teacher? He's cool? He is God. Do we believe that he is God? He is the second person of the Most Holy Trinity, and he became incarnate in the womb of our Blessed Lady through the power of the Holy Spirit. But from all eternity, he is God. He took a human nature to himself, but he did not become a human person. He is a divine person from all eternity, and he remains a divine person. And that becomes important for us because if we can look at that and say, yes, I believe all of that, then let's take it to the next step. Every word that came from his mouth is therefore the word of God. St. Paul says, of God he can neither deceive nor be deceived. He cannot lie. Jesus said, I am the bread come down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, there are lots of people who claim to believe in the scriptures, and yet when we read John 6, they don't believe it. They can't believe that God would love us so much that he would come to us in the form of a piece of bread so that we can receive Almighty God into our own self. That is so far from our imagination that it doesn't make sense. And because it doesn't make sense, we reject it. Funny that we don't reject the idea that he became man in the womb of a virgin. Remember when God spoke to Ahaz through Isaiah, and he said, ask for a sign. Let it be as high as the sky or as deep as the netherworld. Ask for anything that you want. Ask yourself now, if God were to say to me, ask anything, would you, in your wildest imagination, ever say to God, I want you to become one of us in the womb of a virgin? No, that's beyond our wildest imagination, too. But we believe that without any problem. But then when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, all of a sudden, we don't want to believe that. In fact, we're at a point where less than 20% of people who call themselves Catholic say that they believe that Jesus is truly present in the Eucharist. Talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. If being angry grieves the Holy Spirit, what does a lack of faith in Jesus do? If we're going to say that I believe in Jesus, but I don't believe what he said, Well, then we just said he's a liar. So do we really believe in him? He can't be God if he lied. In fact, he can't even be a good man if he lied. He's not a good teacher if he lied. So if he's a liar, let's reject him. If he's a liar, we should get up and get out right now, because what we're doing here is fake. But Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. There is no falsehood in him, none. And so again, each one of us now needs to look at that question and ask, do I believe that? Do I really believe that? In the first reading, we heard about Elijah. And Elijah, remember, he's threatened by Queen Jezebel. And so he flees from up at Mount Carmel all the way down into the area called the Negev, which is in the southern part of Israel. And he wants to die. And God wakes him up and says, eat and drink. And we're told that by the power of the bread that he ate, he walked for 40 days and 40 nights. That obviously wasn't ordinary bread. What is it that he ate? He walked all the way down to Horeb. Horeb is the same mountain as Sinai. So all the way through the Sinai desert, down to Mount Sinai or Mount Horeb, which is where, of course, God appeared to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments. So when we look at that and say, well, can we believe that that happened? Or is that just a nice story that somebody made up? When we look at what God has done and what he has promised, we have to believe. We live today in a time where we say, I believe in science. And somehow we've made this distinction between faith and science. May I remind you that modern science came from the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church started universities. We have saints who are scientists. The church is not opposed to science. The word science means knowledge. But what we are opposed to is false science. People who claim to believe in science when there's nothing to back it up. And when there's nothing to back it up, when there's no evidence, there's no proof, that's not science. In fact, that's an act of faith. I tell that to college kids all the time. Your professor stands up there and tells you all these things and you believe them. The priest stands up here and tells you these things. You read them in scripture and you don't believe them. Well, that's because my teacher is telling me the truth. Are they really? How do you know? You just simply have made an act of faith. Somehow or another, we've decided faith in God is stupid. Faith in a professor is smart. Not necessarily. We need to get our act together and get it back to God. Because Jesus told us that unless we eat his flesh and drink his blood, we have no life in us. Now, these things are hard to hear. But if we continue reading in St. John's Gospel, that's exactly what the people said to Jesus. These things are hard to listen to. Who can hear it? Now notice that every single time in the Gospels, when the apostles didn't understand, Jesus took them aside and he taught them privately. When it comes to the Eucharist, he didn't do that. We are told in an interesting verse, it's John 6, 6, 6. I think you all know what 6, 6, 6 is. So in the 66th verse of the 6th chapter of St. John's Gospel, it's just a little tiny verse, and it said, they walked with him no longer. They walked with him no longer because of the Eucharist, because they couldn't believe that this was real. Jesus didn't take his apostles aside and say, come on, guys, I was just talking symbolically. I really didn't mean it. No, he didn't do that. He looked at them and said, you want to leave me too? That's how serious he was. He was willing to allow anybody to walk away. They understood exactly what he meant, and they packed up and left. Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And in case, by the way, you've ever wondered why Judas betrayed Jesus, we're told twice in John's 6th chapter, it's because of the Eucharist. He couldn't believe the Eucharist. Again, somehow or another, we can believe that God would become man, but we can't accept that he would become, that he would give himself to us in the form of a piece of bread. Why not? If he's going to require that we have to eat his flesh and drink his blood, he has to give himself to us in a way that isn't going to be offensive, and it isn't going to violate the law of God. Cannibalism violates the law of God. We cannot do that. But more than that, if all that we did was eat a little piece of his flesh, then that's all you got. When you receive Holy Communion, you receive the entire person of Jesus. Not a little piece, the entire person. The body, blood, soul, and divinity of the Lord you are receiving into yourself. You don't receive him physically. If you did, that would be cannibalism. It would be a piece of meat that you would be chewing on. You receive him sacramentally, and you receive him substantially. So the substance of the bread and wine, which is the thing which makes bread and wine what they are, changes into the substance of the person of Jesus. So it's not the external things that change, but the spiritual things that do. So we don't see him, we don't taste him, we don't smell him. It requires faith to believe that he is there. Now it's not your faith that makes him there or not. He is there because he said he is. Again, think about the Last Supper when he took his apostles up to the upper room. He said, this is my body. Was it? When we read the Psalms, it says about God, he spoke and it came to be. Just that simple. He spoke and it came to be. Remember when the man had a withered hand and Jesus brought him up to the front of the synagogue and said, reach out your hand. He reached out, it was better. He spoke and it happened. Remember the centurion who said, no, you don't have to come to my house. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. And the servant was healed at the word of Jesus. Why does his word heal people, but it doesn't change bread into himself all of a sudden? It's either the word of God or it is not. This is my body, period. Not a symbol, not a sign. This is my body. And so again, I challenge you now to look deep within yourself and ask yourself, do I believe that? Do I believe that? That's the essence of our faith. If we are to do nothing that will grieve the Holy Spirit, as I said, there is nothing that will grieve the Holy Spirit more than to not believe in Jesus. Jesus is there in the Blessed Sacrament. If we don't believe in the Word of God, if we don't believe the word that Jesus spoke, then we are grieving the Holy Spirit. We are saying that the Scriptures are not really the Word of God. We're saying that Jesus isn't really God. We're saying that God doesn't have the power and the ability to be able to do this. God is all powerful. He can do anything. So let's all look really, really seriously at this. If you don't believe, please do not come up for Holy Communion. That's a sacrilege. We must believe. We say amen. We have to have faith. We're not here just to go through the motions. It's not just, well, I guess it's Saturday night, so I have to go to church. No, we're here because we want to worship God. And because God has given us the means by which He wills to be worshiped. And that is to offer the sacrifice of Jesus and for those in the state of grace to unite themselves with Him in Holy Communion. So again, if we put the sixth chapter of St. John into a context, St. John is lining it up with the things that happened out in the desert. Remember, the people in the desert were disobedient, and therefore they did not enter into the promised land. And what did they do? They murmured against Moses and against God. Notice in the reading today, they're murmuring. They say, our fathers ate manna in the desert. What are you going to do? Well, the manna in the desert, the psalmist says, mere man ate the bread of angels. If the manna was the bread of angels, what is the Eucharist? It is God. Once again, as I said early on, this is so far beyond our imagination. But it's an act of faith. We believe because Jesus said it. We could look at some of the so-called Eucharistic miracles. You could look at Lanciano. You can look at Santarum, places where the host has actually turned into a piece of human flesh. You can look at all the scientific stuff that they've done, because it's all there. The flesh came from a male from the Middle East who was in his early 30s, who was put to death in a horrible way. He's got AB blood, all the things right down the line. You can see it all. It's all scientific. It's also been there for 800 years in one of them and 1,200 years in the other. Human flesh usually rots out after a few days. You can look at the one that happened in Argentina, where the heartbeat is still there and the blood is still flowing through a little piece that was a host that fell on the floor. But you know what? We don't believe because of that. We believe because Jesus is God and He said, "This is my body." That's why we believe. So now again, ask yourself, do I believe in Jesus? And therefore, do I believe that Jesus is truly present in the Blessed Sacrament? He is Emmanuel, God with us. He remains with us, he said, all days until the end of the world. So that's what we all have to look at in our hearts. Ask yourself seriously, and not just sort of, well, yeah, I suppose, maybe. No, he either is there or he's not. The Eucharist is either Jesus or it's not. There's no in between, there's no sort of maybe or anything else. If that is God, worship him. If it is not God, we are violating the first commandment because we're worshiping a piece of bread. Once again, there is no in between. This is what must change our lives. This is what our lives have to revolve around. If this is God, we can't just go along going, yeah, guess God is right there. Isn't that kind of interesting? No. It's either God or it's not. And if it is, then let's get our heart focused where it belongs. It is. The church has taught this for 2,000 years because Jesus taught it. Jesus is God. He cannot lie. And he is the one who said, "This is my body."